Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mums sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
I'm going to pause there briefly. Were you able to hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you recognize the voice on there?
Yes.
And whose voice is that?
Mine.
And do you recognize this as the recording that you made on December 8th of 2019?
Yes.
Your Honor, I believe with the additional foundation, this may be, or I'd move for the admission of this exhibit.
All right. I've previously admitted it. May it be published, Mr. Pryor?
Yeah, there's no, Judge, you're right. You've already admitted it, so it can be published at this point.
Okay. Before we do that, I am going to maybe suggest we get a handheld microphone if one's readily available. We weren't getting great audio off of the mic on the stand there, Ms. Blake.
You have an extra desk or something? One that's not being used with anything else on it? Just put it on that and see.
It'll take me a minute.
Yeah, me too. I'm a lot slower.
And Your Honor, I think I had forgotten to turn the mic on again, so we'll see if it plays through and if it picks up better.
Okay.
And I am calling Chad Daybell's phone number, and hopefully I will be talking to both of them, Chad and Lori. So here goes the phone call.
Sweet Melanie.
Hi, Chad. Hey, Lori.
Hi. Hey, let me put on speaker.
Oh, okay.
All right.
We're enough with the phone. How are you guys?
Okay. How are you doing, babe?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks. I was wondering, where are you guys?
We're just hanging out.
Hanging out? Are you in Idaho?
We're in Idaho.
Okay. I just wanted to ask you a question, if you don't mind, Lori.
Yeah,
I want to know, you remember we talked about JJ going to Kay's house and you told me they went there and now he's not there? I was wondering what happened.
Well, I had to move him somewhere else because of her actions. So
was she doing something? Like, was she trying to come get him or something, or like trying to kidnap him?
Well, she said that lots of times before, but.
Okay. When I asked Chad the other day, I was like, hey, where is JJ? And he said, for my security, he didn't want me to know. So is there a reason I should be in danger to know where he is?
No, it's nobody. It's his danger. It's the danger that there's people after me.
Okay.
So
if you knew that puts you in it. Danger.
Well, just in a bad position.
Yeah, bad position.
Everybody, if they don't know anything, then they don't have to say they know.
Right. So you're just worried. Okay.
I'm just to keep him protected and
keep you protected
and keep everybody else.
I appreciate that. I was wondering why you told the police why he was with me.
I just needed to have somebody so I wouldn't have to tell them where he really was because they were going to tell Kay where he is.
Oh, yeah. So is it, do you think it's like your family or, your family, your dad or, people?
Well, not my whole family, but as you know, most of my family is working against me and with her, basically.
Yeah. Is JJ safe?
He is safe and happy.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. Are you afraid of anything? Like, are you afraid to tell me that you're just afraid that that I could be in danger? Like, if I knew, like, how could that hurt me? I don't understand how that could hurt me if I knew where he was.
Well, I'm just not telling anybody so that nobody has to say where he is or get question to where he is so I can keep him as safe as possible.
Okay. I hope that he's okay. I hope you guys are okay. I did have a question that I asked Al at one point, your brother, if if I wanted to know, you know, like where he was. And he said, I did not want to know, and that he could not be found. So what does that mean?
I don't know why he would say that, but it's the same story. Like I don't even want Al to know. I don't want anybody to know, so that nobody has to be worried about it. I mean, nobody has to be questioned about it, so he can be safe.
Yeah. So are you, I mean, are you, how long are you going to be away for? Like how, I mean, are you ever going to be able to come out and come back to society again? Or are you going to keep, you know, like come back? I mean, like, what does that look like?
I will do whatever the Lord needs to do every day. So
I just wondered if I was ever going to see you again.
Absolutely. You will.
Okay. So, yeah. So maybe when they're done chasing you, you'll be able to come out of, you'll be able to come out again, or?
Yeah, I mean, it's a ridiculous thing for them to be working with Kay to find me. There's nothing that's gone on that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're working with her in some dark capacity. The police are working with her in some dark capacity. There's no reason for them to be after me in the first place.
Hmm. Yeah, has she threatened you at all?
Yes, lots of times.
Oh boy, like what did she say?
Well, it's in emails and everything. So,
So like she said she was going to come take them, or she was.
There's a lot of things.
Yeah.
Nelly.
I know, it sounds like it. I'm just worried for you guys because, you know, he's missing. And, you know,
I know exactly where he is. He's perfectly fine.
Okay, well, I hope so. I have a scripture I wanted to share with you, if you don't mind.
I'd love it.
I was thinking about some of the things you guys have gone through, and I saw this scripture today, and I wanted to, I want you to
comment. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question about the scripture. Okay. So did Alma turn himself into King Noah? Or what did, was he required to do?
Well, King Noah was incredibly wicked.
Yeah.
So he fled his evil ways, which was adultery and living riotously and breaking all the commandments.
Was right. So what was he required to do, Alma?
He had to go and flee so that he would be safe and then help other people realize how, you know, jacked up the system was and the government was.
What about Moroni? What was he required to do at the end?
To carry on those plates and bury them. That was
his responsibility. What did he have to do to do that? What did he have to do to do that? Did he hide?
He had to hide because they were so. Everybody was killing everybody in the society. Everybody was dying. They were killing all the Nephites.
And the scriptures had to hide in the cavity of a rock by day and go out by night.
The prophets did.
They did.
Yeah. Okay. So well, thank you for sharing that with me. Okay. This scripture is just something that may be thoughtful for you. For behold, this is Doctrine and Covenants, section 3, verse 7 and 8. Says, for behold, you should not have feared man more than God. Although men set not the counsels of God and despise his words, yet you should have been faithful, and he would have extended his arm and supported you against all the fiery darts of the adversary. He would have been with you in every trouble. So when we work with the Lord and are obedient, he's going to protect us from adversarial darts and all kinds of negativity. But when we open the door to Satan, he comes in and then he attacks and then he takes away to make it look like somebody else took it away. But that's not how God works. He doesn't work in darkness.
I agree with you 100%. And that's what the Lord is doing for me. Exactly what he's doing for me.
Oh, it just sounds weird. We have not
opened the door for darkness, Mel. Darkness is knocking on the door all the time because that's the way dark works with the light. And I promise you that I have done nothing wrong in this case. But sometimes you have to hide in a cavity of a rock for your own life safety. And that's what the Lord requires of you sometimes. And that's how it is. And I'm sorry that's how it is, because there is a lot of darkness on the earth.
I know.
This has been after me for zero reason. besides the darkness of Kay, which you already know she's dark.
I haven't met her enough to know if she is dark or not. I've just met her slightly, and she seemed like a normal kind of person, but then I haven't engaged with her that much, so I don't know that personally.
So you don't know about her changing the thing for herself to be the beneficiary of a policy and all that stuff? None of that's dark, right?
Well, I haven't seen those documents, so I have no way of knowing.
You've seen them on my computer.
No, I have not. I haven't even looked in on your computer before. You haven't shown me anything.
I don't think it's being controversial to me, or if you're recording this conversation for the police or whatever. I don't know what your intention is on this phone call.
Well,
but I love with all my heart, and I have forever, and I will always love you.
I appreciate those words, but if you really love me, you wouldn't have told the police that I had Jeju with me. That's not what a friend does. I mean, that just makes me look weird, and it's not safe for me. That doesn't look good. I mean, you had to think of my welfare if you love me.
I do, and I did exactly what I felt the Lord was instructing me to do. And I appreciate you, and I love you. I will never do anything to harm you, and you can have all of this confirmed to you by the Lord.
I have. And my conscience is clear. I feel very understanding what's really going on, Lori. And I believe that you have been very deceived by Satan. I believe that he has tricked you. And I don't believe that what you're doing is correct. I just don't. I mean, Tammy dies, and then your husband died. And then he's missing. It just doesn't sound like God's plan to me. It gives me a gut feeling. Like in my gut, it feels weird. It doesn't feel right. I don't have peace about it. I never have felt 100% peace about it. I always felt like a little weird in my stomach about all these things.
You know me, Mel. You know me. This does not sound like you. This sounds like you've been influenced by somebody dark who wants you to believe dark things and have fear of the celestial world.
I don't have fear.
You obviously do.
No, I have a peace of conscience, and I can see clearly.
Well, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I love you so much.
I know you do. I don't know what else to say.
Stand Christ when he comes again, and he's coming soon, and we will all stand there, and you will know at that point that he has supported me and has supported me the whole time, and I have not been deceived.
I just want to testify that I know Tammy. The conspiracy theories, my sister-in-law is right behind it all, and I hope that you're not being influenced by that dark team.
I don't know who she is. I'm sorry, you said your sister-in-law? I don't even know her.
I know, but she's coming up with the same type of theories. Mm-hmm. And it's just not true. My own children were there. They testified that Tammy had been getting weaker and sick, and I begged her to go to the doctor. Her heart was failing her. She was physically falling apart, but she hates doctors, so she just passed away. That's how it happened. My son Garth was right there with me the whole time. My kids were at the house within 20 minutes of her passing. There were two coroners. They checked her out right there on the bed. All these conspiracy theories just make me sick to my stomach. Just absolutely sick. I know I've been told 3 years that Tammy would pass away at a young age. And I had no idea that Lori would even be a part of my life. I just knew that my life had two segments. And that I know Tammy's on a special mission, and she's with my kids. She's visited them. There's so much, Melanie, that you just have to have faith, and this is not some sort of master plan. There's no way Lori and I should ever come up with this. It's just...
You can understand my concern, correct?
I can, from an outside perspective, but
from someone who knows as much as you know, no, not really. But we can feel Dave's influence on you. I can feel that, for sure.
He's a very good man, and he has a very strong foundation, that I know.
I know, but he seems to be the one that's putting the doubts in your mind.
No, you know what? I have I have come to understand that my gut feeling, I was not listening to it. And I always felt uncomfortable with many things.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry that I included you in those teachings then for your own sake, because I wish that you didn't have as much knowledge as you have, because you will be accountable for the knowledge that you do have, Mom.
So will you.
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
So will you. I have no fear of that.
But I really, I was reading the story of Korihor. And it is so very similar to this. You just can't see it. But he did it because he was trying to reclaim a people. And he thought at the very end, because of his carnal and natural desires, that's what influenced him. And he was very, very defeating.
Natural desires?
Well, honey, you got a lot of natural desires. We all know that.
That's what you think is me, Korihor? Are you kidding me right now?
I think both of you have similarities. It's in the scriptures. It's in the scriptures. And the scriptures are very powerful.
Yes, they are. I live by the scriptures, as you know.
I know, but we can rest the scriptures for our own vain glory.
I rested the scriptures?
We can. We can do that. And I feel that you have to see our belief systems.
Do I rest the scriptures? Is that what you're accusing me of at this point?
I feel that you have.
Why do you feel that way? I need an explanation on this.
Because if you look, like the scripture just...
Scriptures every single day, you know?
I know you read them. I don't got that. But this scripture right here says that you will be supported by all against the fiery darts of the adversary. You would have been supported if you had not opened dark portals and dark junk. You would have been safe. If you would have obeyed God, he would have had your back. But you have been chased and tortured. I'm sorry?
He had your back. So.
Well, if he has your back, you would not be able to tell me where you are. And we couldn't find JJ. Like, where is he? I've been asking, where is he? And you know what I mean? Like, that's.
I could tell everyone where JJ is right now. And that would not be good for JJ. So. I'm sorry that you don't want me to protect my children, but I would never ask you to not protect your children.
Of course you wouldn't.
So I can tell that you're just adversarial, Mel. I love you. I'm sorry that you feel this way.
Because I actually do care, I'm sharing what I feel for you because I know your salvation's in trouble for what you've done.
And my salvation is not in trouble at all. And I think you should check that with the Lord again.
Oh, I've felt a lot of things from the Lord. And this doesn't feel right.
Well, I'm sorry that you feel that way, sweetheart. I'm sorry that you're friends with all those who are against me. Joseph Smith's friends turned against
you. I'm not a friend. I'm not friends with people that are against you.
Apparently you are.
I am not. I don't know Kay. I don't know who you're talking about. Your sister, I don't even know what her name or who she is. I don't know any of those people. Why would they contact me anyway? How would I even know about that?
Well, you're friends with Dave, and he's currently, you know.
Well, David is a very righteous man, and I've always known that grounding about him. And he has a lot of beautiful experiences with the Lord, and these are not the same. You know, when you get the priesthood, it's Peter, James, and John shows up, and then he confirms all of those in the circle that are to get it, and everybody's a witness of that. Everybody's a witness that the pattern is in the scriptures. There's no witness that you ever receive what you think you receive. Nobody has seen that but you. There's no witness. The witness, Joseph Smith, Oliver Cowdery, Martin Harris, the eight witnesses, they all showed up.
Is there a witness when Jesus, Heavenly Father, gave that to Joseph Smith by himself in the grove? Was there a witness?
No, but they had it later with other people. That was one experience, but others joined in later. When he brought other people into it, they had experiences.
The scriptures, yes or no?
I'm sorry?
Is that in the scriptures, yes or no?
That Joseph was alone when he saw God the Father and Jesus Christ? Yes, he was alone.
He was alone.
But he had to open it up first.
That's not a pattern at all.
Honey, what I'm saying is that after he saw that and other people joined in, they saw the things with him. He wasn't alone. There was a witness for them. There was no witness. Anybody's never seen what you've seen or experienced what you've seen. That's your own witness, but nobody's said that.
No, God knows it, and I will never deny it. For my soul would be at stake if I did. So you can say it didn't happen to me, Mel, but if I say it, then I am accountable. You didn't witness it. Yeah, I did.
But your behaviors, it's not, okay, I understand that's what you believe you saw, but this is the thing, as I see, is that your behavior is not one of somebody who's seen Christ. Your behavior. What?
Never had any idea that you would be the person of all people to turn me. I cannot
believe I am that. Asking questions, and I am concerned for you. That is what somebody does when they care.
You don't sound like you're concerned. You sound like you're accusatory. You do not sound concerned. You sound pissed off.
I'm not. I am troubled. Maybe that's the better word. Troubled. Because these things, like you being with Chad before he's even divorced, is unusual behavior for a person that has seen Jesus Christ.
I was with him and he was never divorced.
Honey, I've seen you guys together. So I haven't ever seen you with, I've never seen you with Chad kiss him and walk around the track at BYU with him. I never saw that. You see,
you were the one just feeling guilty about being with someone before they were divorced.
Oh, honey, I think that's not what we're talking about here.
Wait, it's not what we're talking about here. That's what I'm saying. You are going off the deep end.
Well, I'm just saying this is not a behavior of someone that sees Jesus Christ. It's not the behavior.
Really? Have you ever seen Jesus Christ? So do you know what the future behavior would be if you had seen Jesus Christ?
I know that when I pray.
To do every day, and he does protect me, and he is protecting me, and he will protect me against this accusation as well. And we will both stand there with him, and you tell me if I was lying or not. But we're both standing there with Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And Miss Gibb, it sounded like that call abruptly ended. What happened?
Just disconnected. Sometimes it disconnects in that particular area that we're in.
When this phone call takes place, did you know the location of Chad and Lori?
No.
They hadn't shared that with you?
No.
At the beginning of the call, we hear some laughter. Do you know who was laughing? Do you remember? Maybe I'll ask it this way. Did Chad and Lori seem upset when you called them initially?
Oh, no.
Did they seem to be in pretty good moods?
Yes.
And this is December 8th of 2019?
Correct.
JJ is still missing at this point. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Lori talks to you about there being a danger that there's people after me. Do you know what she was referencing? Had she ever talked to you about that?
She just said that she felt Kay and her father and her other brother, not Alex, seemed like there might have been another, like a cousin or something. And possibly she put in there the police. It's kind of, you know, lots of conversations together. But anyway, that they were all after her.
Did she ever express why these people were after her, why she thought they were?
Because she considered them dark. They knew who she was spiritually. And so their goal was to take JJ, and possibly her life might have been in danger.
And again, to the best of your knowledge, who was it that would determine if someone was light or dark?
That was Chad.
And you talk in there to her about why she would say JJ was with you, correct?
Right.
And she ends up, Lori makes a comment along the lines of she just needed someone so she didn't have to say where he really was. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Did she ever tell you where JJ was?
No.
We also hear Lori on there make a comment that JJ is safe and happy. Do you recall that?
I do.
At any point, did you ever have any additional conversations with her where she explained what she meant by that?
I don't think so.
So she just says he's safe and happy.
Yes.
And this is on December 8th of 2019.
That's right.
Last time you saw JJ alive was September 22nd of 2019, correct?
Correct.
And in this recording, Lori mentions Kay as being dark, correct?
That's right.
You say you've never met Kay.
Briefly, I have.
Just briefly?
Yeah.
At this point in time, did you really know Kay?
No.
Had you met her?
Briefly.
Just briefly. Yeah. What about the sister-in-law that Chad refers to? Do you know who that is?
He was referring, was it Heather Daybell, I think her name was.
Had you ever met Heather Daybell?
I had not at that point. I had never met her.
And we hear Chad in there as well talk about that Tammy was physically falling apart and she just passed away. Do you recall that?
Yes.
But yeah, in there we also hear Chad say that he knew Tammy was going to die.
Right.
And we also hear Chad say he knew he was going to have a basically a second life.
Right.
Do you recall that?
Yes.
Had you ever heard or talked to Chad before about him believing Tammy was going to die?
He was shared that information publicly at a few conferences that she was going to pass away at some point early.
And do you recall ever having conversations with Lori about the belief that Tammy was going to die?
Yes.
And did Lori believe that Tammy was going to pass away?
I believe she did.
Did she tell you where she got that information from?
From Chad.
There's a statement in there, for someone who knows as much as you know, from Lori to you. Do you know what she's referring to there?
Well, she referenced also the word teachings in there, the teachings that they had. They felt that their teachings of light and dark and multiple lives were a more of a higher, kind of more of a mystery learning. And so she felt that I would be in danger before God for knowing that and then turning on all that knowledge that she shared.
So talking about the knowledge you had from their teachings, that you would have to account for that in the next life.
Correct.
Or I guess after this life, whichever Correct. Way they said
yeah,
it.
Right.
And you talked about that you weren't always comfortable with things.
Right.
Do you recall what some of the things were that you were referencing?
So the idea of... They referred to dark people as zombies at some point. That was a little different. Them getting together and being, you know, married multiple times, it was a little different. They're just all their teachings that are not standard teaching from our church. I never, you know, 100% believed it. There was some uncertainty there. So just any of those new ideas that we've talked about today.
And I think we talked earlier and you'd indicated you were open to some of the teachings or ideas, but that you didn't fully believe them.
Correct.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
And in that recording, Lori, again, she indicates that she knows where JJ is, correct?
That's correct.
And Chad's right there with her when you're talking to her.
That's right.
Ms. Blake, we're right about at the noon hour. Is there...
I was going to say, I think this may be a good point to take it at the lunch hour.
Okay, thank you. Let's go ahead and do that. We will recess for the noon hour for 1 hour. I will remind the jurors again over the lunch break. Please don't discuss the case amongst yourselves or with anyone else. Thank you for those in attendance for maintaining order pursuant to the court's conduct order, and we'll be back around 1 o'clock for continuing testimony.
All rise, please.
Witness the lies.
I didn't lie to you on that polygraph, I promise.
The cover-ups.
I could see his brain on...
The moments they confessed.
I grabbed one of the kitchen knives.
Outrageous police interrogations.
I know, I forgot the head. I wanted the head.
You have to see to believe.
Oh my God.
Law and Crime Interrogations. Subscribe today.
All right. The jury is present in the California.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bailey. Please be seated. Okay, we're back on the record on case CR 22211623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. I'll note the prosecution's present, in addition, the defendant and defense counsel. Continuing with direct examination of Ms. Gibb, I'll remind the witness you're still under oath for your testimony. Ms. Blake, I believe you have continuing direct. Is that correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
All right, you can proceed.
Ms. Gibb, we were talking about that recording, and that Chad had made some comments about how Tammy was going to die. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Do you recall approximately when Tammy actually died?
I'm not sure the date. I believe it was in October 2019.
Do you recall learning of that, of her passing?
Yes.
When you learned of her passing, did you reach out to anyone?
Yes.
Who did you reach out to?
Lori.
Do you recall if it seemed like she already knew when you reached out to her?
Yes.
And did she already know of the passing?
It seems that she did.
Prior to Tammy passing away, had you ever talked to Lori about Tammy?
Yes.
What had Lori shared with you?
That she was supposed to continue her mission on the other side of the veil eventually, and that she would be okay with her and Chad being together.
So... And it was Tammy that was going to continue her mission?
Correct.
And Tammy was going to be okay with Chad and Lori being together?
Correct.
Do you recall if Tammy was ever designated as dark?
Yes.
Do you recall approximately when you first heard Tammy being referred to as Dark?
It must have been either the end of September or sometime in October. I'm just not really sure.
Would it have been so fairly close in time to her actual death?
Correct.
And again, Chad is the person that would label people Dark?
Correct.
Do you recall ever speaking with Lori about whether or not Tammy knew anything about Chad and Lori's relationship?
Yes.
What did Lori tell you in reference to that?
She said that Tammy became suspicious through other people, and she was concerned about that. And
was that fairly close in time to Tammy's death?
You know, I'm not exactly sure when she first told me that. I can't remember when that was.
But at some point, Lori indicated to you it was her understanding Tammy was getting suspicious.
Yes.
Prior to Charles Vallow being killed, did Lori ever indicate if Charles was suspicious of an affair?
It seems that he might have been privy to it at the same time Tammy was. That sounds feels kind of familiar. But up to that point, no. I don't know. I can't recall. I'm not sure on that one.
And I appreciate you clarifying that.
Yeah.
With these teachings of light and dark, at some point, did they evolve?
Yes.
And when they evolved, was there another term that was being used for someone that was dark?
Yes.
What was that term?
Zombie.
Did some of the other teachings evolve over time?
Yes.
Do you recall ever talking to Lori about whether or not she 100% believed everything?
Yes.
What did she tell you?
Once or twice, she mentioned to me that if Chad's a Satan, he sure is a good one. So that gave me an indication there was some doubt there.
And Lori would tell you she received her information from Chad.
Correct.
And she would go to Chad with her questions.
Correct.
Did you ever talk to Alex Cox about whether or not he believed what was being taught?
Yes.
What did Alex indicate to you?
I asked Alex if he 100% believed that zombies were really true, and he said he 100% believed it.
And I have no further questions at this time.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. All right, Mr. Pryor, you can conduct cross-examination when you're ready.
I'm sorry, Judge. It would just take me a moment, please. Good afternoon, Ms. Gibb.
Good afternoon.
I'd like to go through a little bit of a timeline with you, if we could.
Okay.
Right. And in particular, I just want to talk about Chad, Lori, Alex, your husband, David, Zaluma, yourself. So you met Chad approximately when?
In the summer of 2017.
And that was at a preparing the people encampment, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And before we go too far, preparing the people is an organization that talks about when there's going to be a second coming and how you respond to that. Is that correct?
It had multiple levels to.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit about that. What were the levels?
Some people shared conferences about science, and some shared about the Book of Mormon and the evidence of the Native Americans. Some people shared their visions. Some people talked about ancient scripture information. Some person talked about the stars, and so those a variety of subjects.
All right. And I'm not just talking about the one that you, went with Mr. Daybell. You had participated in these Preparing the People conferences previously to that. Is that right?
That was the first time I'd actually been to one when I first met him.
Okay. And then thereafter, how many of these conferences or these mountain retreats would you go to?
I think I've only been to two, like, mountain retreats, but the conferences were generally in a conference center.
Okay. And the frequency of those?
Let's see, once or twice a year, a handful of times I went. I can't recall how many.
Okay. And sometimes three times a year.
It could be.
And is that where you met your husband as well, future husband, excuse me?
No, not at theirs.
At one previous to that?
A different one.
Yeah, and that was previous to the one that you're talking about where you met Chad, right?
Yeah.
All right. So you were at a Preparing the People conference or an encampment. You met your husband there. And then, future husband. Just met him. And then subsequent, you met Chad at a similar encampment. Is that right?
No.
Okay. Please clarify that for me.
No, I didn't meet David at a camp. I met him at a conference previous to meeting.
Oh, Chad. I'm sorry. I didn't understand. Okay. So you met him at a conference. Was it similar type of conference, a Preparing the People conference similar to that?
It was kind of similar. It was more about the study of Isaiah.
Okay. All right. Religious-based conference.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you talked about part of the instruction at these conferences were a variety of subjects, a lot of them, well, most of them based in some sort of at least religious theology or religion of some point. Is that fair?
Yes.
And most of them are geared towards the LDS faith?
Yes.
And would you say that these preparedness conferences and these meetings that you attend are consistent with your beliefs in the LDS faith?
Yes, mostly. Not all, not completely all of it, but mostly.
Okay. So when you talk about visions, mm-hmm. and you talk about, I'm going back to what I think I kind of understand is that visions are like premonitions. Is that kind of what they're all about?
I wouldn't say that.
Okay, so what's the difference between a vision and a premonition?
Well, I would, from my opinion, a vision is something someone sees while they're generally sleeping, but it's a really live experience as if it's really happening. It's something they feel like they're in that vision as if they're part of it. It's like we are here, you know, it's something you could actually see. Okay. You're part of that. Premonition, to at least my understanding, premonition is just kind of a feeling, a gut feeling about something. Okay. Like you feel like something's going to happen, but it's no visionary experience.
Okay. And there's nothing inconsistent with the LDS faith about having visions while you're sleeping about things that you believe are going to happen in the future. Is that right?
Sure. That's right.
Okay. So if, and before we go there, I'm going to hack this up because we've spoken before. And I think the first time we ever spoke, it was your boyfriend, right?
Right.
And now it's your husband.
Correct.
And how long have you folks been married?
About 3.5 years.
And you folks live together where?
We don't live together.
Have you ever lived together?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. How much of a length of time did you folks actually live together?
So after we got married, we lived together for about, I want to say 9 or 10 months.
Okay. And then now you live in different households?
Yes.
Okay. And that's just by choice, right?
Yes.
So you live in Arizona?
Right.
And he lives in Utah?
Yes.
Okay. And we don't need to go any further than that. That's far enough, I think. Okay. So back to this idea of visions. Like you said, it's not inconsistent with your faith that if you have a dream at night, that that can be perceived as, it's not a guarantee, but it can be perceived as a vision of something to come in the future, right?
Dreams and visions are, what I've heard is they're a little different from each other.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, what you heard, you practice this as well as part of your faith, don't you?
I don't have those experiences, but our faith believes that people can have them.
Okay, so is it something that is something that someone who has a special gift is given the opportunity to have visions? Is that what that is?
I think so.
Okay, so your husband has that gift, correct?
Yes.
And your husband has had numbers of visions, correct?
Objection, Your Honor. Relevance?
Sustained.
Okay. But there are people that are appointed to, or not appointed, but who have the ability to have these visions, correct?
Yes.
And you believe that Chad Daybell at one point believed he could have these visions?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you mentioned something in the beginning, and I saw that in the past interviews and other things that you've done, and we'll get to that in a minute. But you've said that at a number of these podcasts and conferences, Chad has previously talked about the fact that he believed his wife, Tammy, was going to die early.
Yeah.
And in fact, he brought that up on the conference on the 18th in 2018. He discussed that with the folks at the conference, that he relayed to them that he felt that his wife was you know, going to pass early and had been doing that for some time, right?
I'm not sure exactly when that he shared. I just remember hearing it.
Okay, so it's possible that on October of 2018, at the very time that he met Lori Vallow, the same conference, he had already relayed to the people there that he felt his wife Tammy did not have a long life, that it was a vision he had about that, right?
Before that conference, it was before he met Lori. I knew that information.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. And thank you for clarifying that, because I may have looked at that differently and I viewed that in a different way. So before Chad even approached the conference with Lori, he had been making that revelation at conferences prior to that about his wife, Tammy.
Yes.
Okay. And if I were to tell you that he'd been making that revelation since 2000 or 2015 or 16, would that be consistent with what you know as well?
Objection, Your Honor. Stating facts, not in evidence.
Sustained.
Do you have a time frame as to when Chad started making that revelation? Any idea?
Since I got to know him at least in 2017, I would say between 2017 and 2018.
Okay. And that's when you first learned of it?
Yeah.
Okay. That may not have necessarily been when Chad started, expressing his vision about seeing that sort of thing, right?
Can you rephrase that? I'm sorry.
Well, that's not necessarily. You heard about it in 2017 or believe that's when you thought it was starting, but it could have been earlier than that, right?
Could have been.
Okay. Okay. And do the only two people you know who have visions, Chad Daybell and your husband?
Objection, Your Honor. Relevance.
Overruled.
Are the only two people you know who have visions, Chad Daybell in your church of the LDS faith, are the only two people you know who have visions, Chad Daybell and your husband?
No, there's others.
Okay. And it's not an unusual thing, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, I do want to go to an area that I think I've heard you discuss before. And you talked about it when the prosecuting attorney was talking to you, Ms. Blake. You use the phrase, and I need you to explain this for me. You use the phrase energy work.
And I'm not, I
don't understand that very well. So could you explain to me what energy work is?
Yes. My exposure has been that when you have a practitioner that is communicating with you or your body, they have a certain method that they use through like muscle testing, which if you want me to explain that, but anyway, muscle testing, and they ask the body questions about what's going on in your body physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. And then they find different ways to help you feel better by just their different methodologies that they would communicate. It's kind of fun. I don't really know how to explain it very well, but
okay. Well, we'll work through that a little bit just so we kind of maybe try to make it a little easier for everybody to understand. So methodologies, meaning prayer?
Maybe some people pray, sure.
Meditation?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's possible for some people. I haven't had that experience.
Okay. Something you've talked about in previous interviews with a number of different people is vibrations.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about what the concept of, in terms of energy work, what are vibrations?
My understanding is vibration would be more like a frequency of your body, just like music has a vibration and energy to it. And so it has a certain megahertz. And so that vibration can have a certain positive or a negative way of expressing itself.
Okay, so it's not something that's a divine revelation to you. It's not something that you feel as part of a spiritual thing. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, some people describe spiritual things as vibrations, so it just depends on the person.
Well, you've practiced this vibrations, have you not?
Well, I don't know that I practice. I don't know what you mean by practice it.
All right, you utilize it.
I'm not really sure what that would mean for me. Utilize vibrations. I don't know.
Well, when you make reference in a number of interviews about the concept of vibrations, are we talking about music? Or are we talking about something with religion?
I'm just talking about in general, vibration is an energy that people have around anything that, you know, the world has a vibration. People have vibrations. It's just a frequency that's put off.
And is that frequency giving you any sort of religious message or any sort of revelation of any kind?
No, not for me. Maybe for others, but not for me.
So it's your position that it wasn't doing that. So these ideas and these concepts about light and dark, and we talked a great deal about light and dark. Is that something that's inconsistent with the LDS faith?
Inconsistent, yes.
Okay, so the LDS faith doesn't talk about light and dark.
No.
There's no discussion about that.
Well, I mean, I think Christianity talks about Jesus Christ being the light of the world and that darkness would be associated with Satan. So if you want to say that, yeah.
Okay. So if someone were to be practicing techniques as they relate to light and dark, or make comments about being able to tell if someone's light or dark, that's something that's inconsistent with the LDS faith.
Yes.
And that's not something you would ever do, right?
No.
You would never engage in conduct that would trying to determine whether someone's a light person or a dark person, right?
Well, I didn't have the ability to know how to do that.
Okay. And did you ever teach that?
Light or dark? I don't know if I shared it with anybody. I'm not sure.
Well, I didn't say shared. I said taught.
I don't recall.
Okay. Is it possible you talked about taught light theory to people?
No, it's possible.
Is it possible you talked about dark theories to people?
It's possible.
Okay. But you don't remember?
I don't remember.
Okay. And I want to kind of lean into that a little bit about not remembering. Do you remember talking to Detective Moffitt from the Arizona bound in Maricopa County some time ago when this case first started?
Yes.
Yeah. And you remember talking to him about the fact that, you know, you don't have the best memory in the world.
Yeah, I don't.
And the fact that you forget a lot of things.
Forget often.
Quite often, right?
I don't know. That's correct.
Well, what you told Detective Moffitt was that ask anybody. I don't remember things very well. Do you recall telling him that?
It's possible I said that to him.
Would it help if I had played the recording for you?
No, it's not necessary.
It's not necessary, is it?
No.
Because you did tell Detective Moffitt that you have a very difficult time remembering things, right?
Yeah.
And then you told him have a difficulty getting facts and dates and times right, correct?
Yeah.
And that's not something that everyone has difficulties this, but you were particular with Detective Moffitt in reminding him that you didn't always get the facts right or the dates right or the times right, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. I know that's not easy to acknowledge. Now, you in the conference in October when Lori and Chad first met, Chad was there to sell books, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, I understand that you've taken a jab at writing books as well, right?
A little bit.
You wrote, and I don't want to misrepresent. I know you wrote one book.
Right.
And when did you write that book?
Right about the time I finished it up, about the time I met Lori, so 2018, 2019.
And when did you start writing that book?
When? Probably, I would say sometime in the middle of the year, 2018. Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. And please straighten me out if I get the title of the book wrong. I meant to bring it in and I didn't bring it in because I have a copy of it. It's called The Fire Within.
No.
Okay, tell me what I knew I was going to get it wrong. So correct me.
Feel the fire.
I'm sorry. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of reading lately, so I may get it wrong. Feel the Fire is about your religious experiences and the things that you felt going through the development of your LDS faith, right?
Yes.
And you talked about your personal experiences doing that, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and then I kind of noticed that there was a discussion with one of the officers, and I think it was with one of the officers. You've interviewed a lot of people. You've spoken to a lot of people, right?
A few. Wouldn't say a lot, but a few.
Well, you've spoken to a lot of police officers, right?
I'd say a few.
Okay. Well, you spoke to Officer Duncan, right?
Right.
And you've communicated with the Lieutenant Ball from yes. up here.
Yes.
Or Lieutenant Hermosillo.
Yes.
You spoke with the prosecutor, Rob Wood, a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was that a frequent conversation with Prosecutor Wood, or was that was there some level of regularity with that discussion with Prosecutor Wood?
It was infrequent in the beginning, but yeah, it, just for a short period of time.
It was infrequent for a short period of time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And we'll revisit that in a minute. But you also did an interview on TV with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You recall that?
I do.
Okay. Do you remember when that was?
I'm not recalling that exactly when that was.
Okay.
It's been so long. I'm sorry.
That's okay. And I know there's always, and if you would just bear with me. But we do know who you spoke to at that point, correct?
Right, correct.
Who was that?
Nate Eaton.
Okay. Oh, that's right. I forgot about Mr. Eaton. You also spoke with Keith.
Yes.
Who was that?
He is one of the interviewers for Dateline.
Okay. And you gave a lengthy interview with him on a national audience interview. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, as part of your preparation for that interview, were there any conditions put in place that you were not going to agree to talk about?
Maybe possibly, but I just can't recall what we talked about before.
Okay. And that was Keith Morrison from Dateline.
I think that was his name.
Okay. And you didn't know him because of any church affiliation or anything like that, right?
Oh, no.
You don't know whether he's a member of your faith or not, right?
I don't know what his faith is.
Okay. And was there any discussion as part of that interview that your intent was to protect your church from exposing anything?
I don't know if that was my intention. I just shared whatever they wanted to ask questions about.
Okay. And at no time were you gearing that interview or any other testimony about having to protect your church?
I don't think that was the goal.
Okay. And that was never any discussion, right?
A little bit. We talked a little bit about it.
About protecting the church?
No, not protecting it.
Okay. So during the process of preparing for this case, you had an occasion at or around the time of the initial preliminary hearing to engage in discussions with Mr. Wood about your testimony. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Okay. And that was started in about May of 2020. You recall that?
It could have been. I can't recall the date.
Okay. And it ended somewhere around November of 2020, right? You don't remember?
I don't remember.
Would it help if I showed you some correspondence between you and Mr. Wood to refresh your recollection? Or do you remember having a discussion with him during that time?
I remember talking to him often. I mean, you can ask me what I shared, but I don't need dates.
Okay. You do remember that there was pretty consistent email communication for a 6-month period between the two of you, right?
Email?
I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. I said email, didn't I? Text messaging.
There was some text messaging.
Some text messaging?
Yeah.
Would it surprise you to learn, and if we need to refresh your recollection, I can stop things. Judge, it'll take me a little while to get them hooked up. But would it surprise you to learn that between May 20th, May 6th of 2020, and November 4th of 2020, the two of you exchanged text messages between you over 340 times?
It's possible. I really don't know.
Okay. Would it help to refresh your recollection if I showed you all 340 of those text messages?
No, I mean, I know we communicated it. You got what you got.
Okay. And you acknowledged that during that time, there was a considerable amount of communication between you and Mr. Wood. Would you agree with that?
I'd say it was more often in the beginning. Yeah.
Okay. Would you dispute that there were 340 texts?
I don't know. It's possible. I really don't know.
And one of my concerns is that about that communication is...
Objection, Your Honor. I'd move to strike the narrative that started that question.
Stained.
Okay. At any time during that communication with Mr. Wood, did you suggest to him that you needed to protect either a person or an organization as part of whether or not you were going to testify or what you were going to testify to?
No.
You don't remember that?
No, I didn't. No, what I'm saying is no, I didn't. My intent was not to protect anything other than to share what I knew.
Okay, okay. So if I were to show you a text message that suggests something contrary to that, would that refresh your recollection?
I don't recall it, so I could care either way.
Judge, could we take just a short moment for me to... I'm not going to be able to refresh a judge up on the screen, so I don't know how you want to do this. I can either bring her this laptop and show her the text message, or however you would like me to do that.
I am okay with you giving her your laptop to review the message, since it's to refresh her recollection, and if we can identify what she's looking at, I'll ask the state if there's any objection to that matter, and of course, instruct the witness not to start playing around on the laptop.
And Your Honor, if we could approach just briefly.
Okay.
And then I'll lead it back. They've seen it. Just bring it.
And Ms. Gibb, after you have a chance to read that, would you hand it back to the bailiff and have him return that to me, please?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Ms. Gibb, after you have a chance to read that, it's the third box down.
Right.
After you've had to read it, hand it back to the bailiff, and then we'll talk about it. And if you could identify what was said and the date and time, I would appreciate that. Yeah. So in looking at that, does that refresh your recollection about discussing protecting someone in this case?
That sounds familiar.
Okay. And in this particular instance, isn't it true that when you were communicating with Mr. Wood, you mentioned to him that you and Mr. Morrison want to make sure the church is protected, right?
Well, I think in my feeling, what it meant to me was is that when we talked about these things, that we would share that this was not the teachings of the church. So that's what I meant by it.
No, it wasn't that what you were trying to do is you were going to testify. It wasn't that you were trying to testify and in a court of law or in talking with Mr. Morrison and not disclose too much about some of the secrets of the LDS faith. Is that what you're telling me?
No.
You were trying to protect some of the secrets of the LDS faith from being exposed?
No. No, I'm sorry. I guess it's the way you're phrasing it.
Okay. So in other words, what you're saying is that you were just wanted to be careful about what you said when you're talking to a prosecutor in a criminal case. Is that what this means?
I'm not sure how you're explaining it, that you need to be more clear with me.
Okay, I'll be really clear. You and Mr. Morrison sent a check text to a prosecuting attorney, correct?
I don't know who sent that. I'm sure I'm not that text, even though I guess I didn't understand. Was I texting that to Rob? I'm not sure.
Well, Judge, I think what I'd like to do is have the bailiff come back up, take the document, have her look at it and see who the heading, who it was from and who it was to. And then after you do that, we'll take a look again.
I'll permit that. So Mr. Bailiff, if you'd please retake this paper, not yet admitted as an exhibit, but it is shown to the witness to refresh recollection. The witness may review again the text.
Okay. I just...
And ma'am, when you're done, just put it down because all we're allowed to do is refresh your recollection. Hand it back to the bailiff if you would, and he'll return it to me, ma'am. And I'll just try to walk through this step by step if that's okay with you. You sent Rob Wood a text at that time, correct?
Yes.
And the text was from you to Rob Wood.
Correct.
And in the text, you talked about Keith, the guy from Dateline, and I, right? And is that the Keith Morrison? Is that the guy we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Want to make sure the church is protected. Do you recall that?
Yes.
He has done a good job so far. That's why I feel comfortable talking to him. Is that what you said to the prosecutor?
I think so. Yes.
Okay. Is there any reason to dispute what I just read is not what you read just 2 minutes ago?
Yes, that's fine.
So the question I have with that is... If what you're saying is that, well, you wanted to get the story right in terms of the beliefs of the LDS faith. Why are you sending that to a prosecuting attorney who's prosecuting Chad Daybell?
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.